Well, it is so good to be back. For myself, after several weeks of vacation, going to a family wedding, to see your faces and to sing that glad song about sheep being brought home, it is good to see you all here. There were some delightful surprises while I was away, things getting done that I didn't know about. Among them, the reorganization of our office in the parish hall. If you haven't been, you might want to stop by. While I was gone, Priscilla Burns, our parish administrator, completely reorganized the space. Tom and Ken helped to paint a wall, did paint the wall. They didn't help to paint it. It's a brighter space, and now things have their particular places, because I am one who is prone not to put things back in their particular places. But already the office feels more efficient and our work more pleasant. But as I looked around, I realized there was one thing that we still don't have a place for, and that is a lost and found box, or a lost and found apartment. I came in this morning, for example, and found an umbrella over there on the chair. If it's yours, it's on top of the filing cabinet in the office. But we often get the phone call, did you find a pair of eyeglasses? Did you find a watch? And we need to kind of carve out that space in the office. But as I thought about it, and as I reflected on the gospel reading today, maybe it's more appropriate to do this, to hang a sign out over the front door for this entire building, for this entire community, that says, Lost and Found Department. For here is a place you can come when you've lost something. Here is a place you can come when you've lost someone. Here is a place when you can come, where you can come when you've lost yourself, when you're feeling at loose ends. For here is a place, especially on this particular morning, when we hear the good news of Jesus Christ described in this way. That God cares about what is lost, God cares about who is lost, and God's passion for all that is lost in this world is so deep and so great that when someone or something is found, the rejoicing resounds through the whole of creation with angels singing. Now, we all know something about that passion. Because every one of us has been in that situation where we've lost something and we're looking desperately for it. A few months ago, we had a visit from a good friend of ours in North Carolina, Courtney. And after she got home, she called us with an anxious tone in her voice and she said, Tom, I've lost an earring and I think I lost it in your guest room. Would you please look for it? And it was not just any earring. This set of earrings had been given to Courtney by her husband, Adam, and they had belonged to his mother, who had died while Adam was still in college. So Courtney never had a chance to meet her mother-in-law, and this was one very tangible and physical connection to that relationship, which was not to be. And the thought of losing that earring, there was just heartache in her voice as she spoke to me. And so, of course, I went upstairs and I looked. I searched every corner of that room. I took the sheets off. I lifted the mattress. No earring. And do you do what I do in those situations? I come back downstairs and then I think, no, I'm going to go look again. And I go to every single place I've already looked and try it again, and still no earring. Until finally I had to call Courtney and said, it must not be there. And so she said she would retrace her other steps and see if she could find it. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she can find it? You don't need to own silver or gold coins, and you don't need to be a shepherd in search of lost sheep to get a sense of the energy in these parables. Because we've all searched for things we've lost. And we've all at one time or another been lost ourselves. Sometimes it is a lost item. Sometimes it is a lost relationship with a person, with a community. Sometimes it's the very loss of hope or sense of purpose that we have. in living into the future. But oh, the joy that comes when the lost is found. It was about 2 months after I spoke with Courtney that I went upstairs to get a book from the bookshelf in that bedroom. And I bent down to get the book on the bottom shelf, and there, right next to the bookshelf, was the earring. I know I had looked there every single time I searched. But oh, the rejoicing on the other end of that phone when the lost was found. We are a lost and found department here because one of the things we do is to bear witness to the fact that God is continually doing that kind of searching of our lives, of our hearts, finding us, Christ calling us, the Holy Spirit guiding us. We tell stories about the people for whom that rejoicing has happened. People like John Newton, the British sea captain, whose words we'll sing during communion today. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. And you may know the story. He was deeply involved in the slave trade, transporting human cargo across the ocean. On one trip across the ocean, there was a dangerous storm. He survived, and he had a life-changing experience coming to know Christ as he was saved from that storm. While carrying those enslaved human beings across the Atlantic, John Newton knew the trade route, but he was utterly lost. And then he was found. He turned and faced another direction. He oriented himself toward God. And that really is what the meaning of repentance is. To repent is to reorient ourselves so that our focus is faced toward the God who is already facing us, searching us out. And that kind of conversion is not always instantaneous and complete, but rather a lifelong process. When I used to hear that story of John Newton, I thought he came back from that voyage and immediately left the business he was in. But he was still engaged in the transport of slaves, even after he became a Christian. And it was only later in his life that he became a staunch abolitionist and helped to end slavery or the practice of trading slaves in England. His conversion was continual, even as it is for us. Because we're always encountering losses. And it would be too simplistic to say that every loss is completely healed or redeemed or reconciled the way that we might like. We may rejoice at the prospect of a nonviolent resolution being found to the use of chemical weapons in Syria, but we're wrong if we believe that the proposed agreement ends the violence and the suffering there. There has been so much loss in that country. And it will take the hard, disciplined, and creative work of so many to heal those losses and to bring refugees home, to repair what has been broken. And even when things are found, there's still a poignancy at times about loss. Courtney found her earring, and there was rejoicing. But she had never met her husband's mother. She never had the chance to speak to her mother-in-law. She never has the chance to see that grandmother welcome their own child who has come into the world in the last year. This week, we've been reminded of other losses as we commemorated the 12th anniversary of the attacks of 9/11. Where is God in the midst of the heartache and the loss that is still present in those persons' lives? A partial answer came as I was reading the account this week of one woman whose husband was in one of the towers when the World Trade Center collapsed. And she said she recalled a phrase in a book on grieving that someone had given her after the tragedy, and it said this: "The best way to know God is to love many things." To love many things. And perhaps that is also a good way to describe repentance, to turn one's focus, one's mind, one's heart, all of oneself to loving many things, to love the present, to love this moment, to love this community, to love each person we encounter here, the ones who bring us joy when we see their faces, and even the ones who may bring us a little bit of frustration or irritation. To love many things and many persons. And to love ourselves when we find ourselves regretting the lost chances, the lost opportunities of our lives. For that is how Jesus describes God, as the one who loves many things, who loves a sheep that has wandered off, who loves the life of every individual as precious as a silver coin, who loves the sinner, the tax collector, and yes, who loves the Pharisee and the righteous. Or as St. Augustine once put it, God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us. To love many things is to recognize that however lost we may be, God is present, filling and redeeming the empty and aching places of our lives. Redeeming all that is lost, not just one sheep, not just one person, but the very whole of creation. Moving each of us toward that ultimate reconciliation of all things and all people. A final reconciliation which will be accompanied by so much rejoicing, angels singing, and we can hear them now. So where is the lost and found department? It's right here. Amen.